The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If you really want to know what the season of Lent is all about, this season that we've just entered into, 40 days before Easter, it's really very easy. I'll give you a little exercise you can do today when you leave church. Go home today and find the messiest room in your house, the messiest room or closet in your house, and clean it. You may not think that has anything to do with Lent, but I assure you that cleaning up that messy room is at the very heart of what this season and about what it means to be a Christian is all about. It is all about good versus evil, forgiveness versus shame and guilt, life and resurrection versus death. It is all about proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, and no one else, no other religion can bring you that kind of life and that salvation. Here's why. The very first thing that Jesus does in the book of Genesis is create order. Scripture tells us that the earth was without form, it was void, and there was darkness. There is no order happening. Jesus comes along and he speaks and creates things into order. Let there be light. Let there be water and sky, stars and land, sea, plants, animals and birds and fish. And let us create man in our image with Adam and Eve. This is the very first thing that Jesus does in the first book of the Bible. He cleans up everyone's messy room. He creates order. Life for you is really this simple. Chaos is the mark of evil. Disorder is the happy playground of the devil. And if you're not sure about that, then look around us today. Look at the horrible mess that we're recounting over and over again that happened in Florida. Look at the dangers that we are constantly facing. Look at the sickness that people are still lingering with. Look at all of the sad divisions that we have happening in our lives. Chaos is the mark of evil, but order is always the mark of God. Go back to our gospel for today. Jesus starts Lent with everything in good order. He's born of the Virgin Mary. He's presented in the temple. He obeys his parents. He's baptized in the Jordan River. He hears the voice of his heavenly Father saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." He obeys the guidance of the Holy Spirit, even when the Holy Spirit slingshots him into the wilderness. That's literally what it says in the Greek, ekbalo. He is shot out into the wilderness. This is the order of God. And now with our reading today, he's been fasting 40 days and nights. And by the way, that's a fascinating topic in its own right. We're going to be taking a look at fasting today in our Bible class. Fasting is a way to bring order to space and time. For the longest time, the ancient church has always fasted in order to order their mind, body, and spirit. And now all of that order today is far too much for Satan to handle. It was far too much for him to bear with Adam and Eve in the garden, so he tempted Adam and Eve to make their room totally messy, to make it one big fat mess by focusing on themselves. Disordering what is beautiful and divine and holy. Eden was the most beautiful thing that God had ever created, and the devil loves to make it messy. Go back to Jesus in the wilderness today. The devil offers Jesus the very same thing that he offers Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The devil simply offers Jesus a shortcut. In reality, it's really not a bad way, if you think about it, if you're a tempter. Let's face it, you and I are practical people, right? If we can save a little time, save a little pain, we'll do it. We like shortcuts. We do it so well, and oftentimes it starts off with the best intentions, and then it becomes a big, hot mess. Go back to who you are today. You are the dearly baptized children of God. God has literally taken you to that font and has drowned you of your sins. He has resurrected you with Christ, and he has placed your life into his order. You are on the path directly back to paradise. In your baptism, you heard the voice of the Heavenly Father. This is now my son. This is now my daughter, with whom I'm well pleased. You have been given the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to lead you and guide you throughout this world. This world around us, which is the wilderness. When you leave this place today, and all of these beautiful and colorful and divine and holy things that are dropped into your lap, you go out into the wilderness. When we leave this place, we go out into this world where things are mean and violent and sinful and dishonest and unjust. Husbands and wives not getting along together. People suffering from all sorts of illness and calamity. Children being gunned down in schools simply because they want to get an education. We suffer just like Jesus did in the wilderness today. And when we get tired of suffering, we, like Adam and Eve, are teased into the notion that we could find a better word from some other God, or that we could find a better way. We're always teased, always, always, always teased that we can somehow become better gods than God himself. After all, it seems that God's divine order that we've been talking about here today is stealing our freedom, causing us not to have any more fun. The rest of the world is telling us to live a little. Quit being so archaic, so narrow-minded. Let things loose and be free a little bit. Be your own self. Choose your own way. And somehow it's so appealing to have our room be in one big mess, isn't it? This is exactly what the devil suggests to Jesus today. God is here to ruin your fun, to make you a success, your success a failure. God is here to waste your life, but I can offer you a greater shortcut, Jesus. I can ease your pain. I can take you where you want to go much more quickly and in a safer way, and it will certainly make you much more happy. Here is the devil's best deal to Jesus. If you want bread and strength, break God's divine order, Jesus. Turn the stones into bread. If you want power and glory, check the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me, and worship me, Jesus. If you want to be popular, if you want to be a miraculous, successful Messiah, tempt God and jump off from the point of the highest element of the temple. But in the midst of all of this, there is great comfort as well in this reading. You may or may not remember last Sunday, I mentioned the idea that evil will always, always overreach in your life. The devil will always act like he has the upper hand in your life. Evil always overreaches, and Satan always overestimates his own capacity. Put that back in the context of Jesus. The devil tries to give Jesus a shortcut, the way out of hunger, the ability to have power and possessions, and yet Jesus is so repulsed by disordering his life, of being tempted to being tempting God and worshiping the devil, it is all so terribly evil that Jesus turns and sets his face toward Jerusalem and the cross. He goes back to his baptism. He remembers the voice of the Father, "You are my beloved Son." He is led and guided by the Holy Spirit to go back to the pure Word of God found in the Scriptures, to defeat the devil. He will face the cross. Nails will be placed into his hands and feet. He will have his side pierced. He will suffer all of the chaos and disorder, all of the shame and guilt and sin of every human being who has ever lived, including you and me, so that he may win and so that he may bring back order. Luther says, Satan sometimes does God's best work. When Satan overreaches, he destroys himself. And now Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, by the Word of God, is saved from temptation so that he could go to the cross to save all of you and the world. This is the triumph of good over evil, the triumph over chaos, bringing order. So happy Lent. Go back home. Pick up that messy room. Not because it's a demonic threat, but that room tells you the greater story about your life. The story of what it means to be a part of this place, to be a Christian. A story of the beauty of God's creation and God's order. The story of order and the pain of chaos and disorder that we see around us. It tells us a story about temptation to take shortcuts in life in order to make ourselves God and to be happier. But it also tells us the blessings of the Father's words, "You are my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased." And it reminds you of the many joys of the Holy Spirit who guides you daily. All of this reminds you of the love of Jesus, love that goes to the cross all for you, forgiving you, soothing you, healing you, and leading you back to his order so that you may be with him in paradise forever. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.